listeners. This is The Bigger Picture. I am David C. Fisher, sitting in for Timothy Spangler. And it is time for our featured guest. Vicangelo Bullock has over 20 years' experience creating content and initiatives focused on America's ever-growing multicultural audience. He was executive producer of the 2016 Democratic National Convention, the NCAA Image Awards for 10 years, and he's an executive producer of the Judge Mathis Show, now in its 20th season. He recently produced the indie feature film Windows on the World, starring Edward James Olmos and Ryan Guzman. For his latest project, he directs the West Coast premiere of Paradise by Laura Maria Kensabella, opening January 26th at the Odyssey Theater. Vicangelo Bullock, welcome to The Bigger Picture.
Thank you very, very much. Please call me Vic.
I will call you Vic. Executive producer. I'm sure there are some people who will need to be told what that entails exactly. And the executive producer of the 2016 Democratic National Convention and the Judge Mathis Show. Those are two seemingly very different things. How are they similar?
They're similar in the, the politics. I mean, I don't know if your listeners who are fans of Judge Mathis probably know that he is very progressive and community-oriented and kind of a man of the people.
Okay. No, I'm a fan of Judge Mathis. He tells it like it is.
All right.
Absolutely. And, on the executive producer front, most executive producers probably need to have their jobs explained to them. Because essentially it's, being blessed, honored with the responsibility of, pulling together a team and helping create a vision. I was really lucky with the Judge Mathis Show. Me and a group of young men were introduced to the judge, and we felt that his honesty and insights to humanity and the law were something that belonged on television. 20 years ago, it was pretty much just Wapner and Judge Judy. And
yes,
we thought something multicultural and fresh.
Judge Mathis is not Judge Wapner. This is not just the People's Court. This is another kettle of fish.
Right.
Absolutely. And then the same thing, at least in my work in regards to the Democratic National Convention, making sure that multicultural America was represented and that their voices were part of the mix and in the programming, so that to help, America and the world, because the world was watching, know what the Democratic Party stood for.
Now, the world was watching, and as I recall, the Democratic National Convention happened just about a week after some rather uncomfortable emails were released by WikiLeaks. Did that have an effect on anything in your end of planning or organizing the Democratic National Convention?
At that point the messaging was pretty far along and pretty well developed. You can't overreact to
play past it.
Yeah, any news cycle, right? Especially when you really are talking bigger picture and you're trying to make people understand what you really stand for. You can't let daily events shift, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Sure.
I remember that national convention. I mean, what was great about the Democratic National Convention, it was very hopeful. It was very, a bright morning, things are going to get better. And the Republican National Convention was gloom and doom. Everything is crashing down on us. The only person who can help us is Trump.
And yes, and then he got elected, and the inauguration was kind of gloom and doom too. It was kind of amazing. How did you get started? I mean, this is a career initiative of yours, the multicultural content and initiatives, and how did you get started in the, because 20 years ago we did not have by any means the multicultural audience that we have today. There's been a massive change, has there not?
Yeah, well, you know, I have to thank my parents for getting me started on this road. I mean, I'm biracial. My dad's African American, my mother's white, so it's the world I've grown up in my whole life, and luckily they also supported me to be creative, and every story, everything that I've ever kind of really responded to, and also what I've always felt was kind of missing in the American media and cultural mix, you know, were multicultural stories. It's much better today. And only going to continue because, you know, it is the strength of our nation. And now Hollywood has also caught on that, you know, that there's gold in them hills.
Hollywood certainly has seemed to caught on. I hadn't put it together, but I heard recently, what is it, 4 of the last 5 winners of Best Director were Mexican. Or Mexican-American. Yeah. So there are certainly aspects of the entertainment industry that have caught up and have become very multicultural in their outlook. Do you see facets of the entertainment industry that still have a ways to go? Are there places we should be concentrating on?
Well, always. I mean, there's still a long way to go, even in the places where things are going well. I think news and news coverage and, you know, back at, you know, when I was sitting in the chair at the Hollywood Bureau, Sunday morning news commentators, I mean, if you just look at those panels, and if you also look at the hosts, you know, there's some, you know, you got Joy and a few other people, but, you know, for the most part, news coverage, how people are represented in the news, how those stories are carried. A lot of stuff that's going on right now in social media, there really is not a lot that's speaking to that. Gaming, you know, so
gaming,
you know, there's
interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of places, and I think what it really comes down to is that, you know, creative people just need to tell the, you know, be authentic, be true to them, you know, themselves, and tell the stories that they think are important. And I think that's what we're really starting to see is that, you know, as technology makes it easier to create content, you know, and in the indie world. And it's one of the things that I really enjoyed about, you know, working in the theater, which I think is where a lot of original ideas, original content can be created and developed. Without the, you know, all the gatekeepers that decide who people, you know, what people want to watch, you know, in any given medium. So I think there's something phenomenal about theater that has been, you know,
well, yes,
centuries and centuries in the making. But I do think it's an important venue right now. In our current cultural climate, that you know, writers and producers and directors and actors, you know, if they can't find out how to make it into a movie or get it on television, that you know, we do the work in the theaters, we speak to the communities, even if it's, you know, one community at a time with 100 people at a time sitting in a room sharing ideas.
Now that you mentioned theater, tell us about your current project, which is Paradise by Laura Maria Sensabella, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Maria Sensabella.
Okay, opening at the Odyssey Theater this week. Tell us about the show.
Thank you for that. We just had a phenomenal opening weekend. All our previews and our opening weekend, we're sold out. The response seems to be, you know, what we were hoping for. It's a beautiful play. And it's very timely and topical. I actually fell in love with the project about a year and a half ago. I was looking for something to develop as an indie film, And I thought, let me look at, you know, what's going on in the theater. And I'd reached out to some friends, and I read a bunch of plays, and then I read this one. It's a two-hander, so it's literally two people. It's the story of a young Yemeni devout Muslim woman, high school senior, who has a real passion for science and may actually be a genius. And then her high school science teacher, who really doesn't want to be teaching science. And so it's how they kind of inspire and guide each other. For the shorthand of it, I tell people it's, you know, it's Goodwill Hunting meets To Sir With Love.
Uh-huh. So. Very good.
That's a good elevator pitch for
that's
that.
That's not bad. So that's Paradise opening. It's already open January 26th at the Odyssey Theater. Tell our audience how to get tickets, what tickets are still available. How do you see this great play?
We're lucky. Tickets seem to be moving. We're obviously going into our second weekend. I'm told that traditionally there's a second weekend slump. So any of your listeners that want to help us make that not the case is greatly appreciated. So we're at the Odyssey Theater in West LA, which I think is a beautiful theater. They're celebrating their 50th anniversary. And we're proud to be kind of part of that.
And how do you get tickets?
You can go to plays411.com /paradise.
Excellent. So, very good. Vic Bullock.
And I do have to give a shout out, you know, my producers, Viola Davis and Julius Tenen, are also very active in this space of wanting to tell multicultural stories. And our cast, Medallion Rahimi and Jeff Marlowe, are two phenomenal actors. And so I don't want anybody who's listening to think that, you know, this is medicine. It is multicultural, but it really is thought-provoking, fun, inspirational, and a really wonderful
outstanding
evening in the theater.
Outstanding.
I'm sure very entertaining, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure. Vic Bullock, thank you so much for joining us on The Bigger Picture.
I really appreciate you having me. Thank you
all
very
right
much.